I wanted to do a video here on ex-Christians. One of the biggest gripes that a lot of us have today is that, really, in America at least, I'm not sure if this is true in other parts of the world, like in Korea, where the gospel is just growing by leaps and bounds, in China, where the gospel is growing. But I think it's true in America, from what I can see. I'm certainly not don't know everything about Christianity in America, but I've been, in the church since I was born. But most of what is called Christianity in the United States of America is not Christianity at all. In fact, this morning I got a letter. It's already in my trash can, from Saint Dominic Catholic Parish, and a letter from a Baptist minister locally who wants to get everyone together with Father Michael, whoever, to do a unity prayer service. I'm just like, here we are coming up on the 500th anniversary of this great event called the Protestant Reformation, and the heirs of the Reformation have forgotten it completely. They have no past, and it's just amazing to me the shocking level of ignorance among not just laity, but among pastors, among people who are clerics, who know nothing about the Bible. So it really is sad to me to see the level of ignorance. I thought about sending a link to a sermon that I preached a while back called Pope Francis and His False Religion to this guy, but I just decided not to. My experience is that most folks are not listening. It's better to devote your time into catechizing and preaching and teaching to the people that are part of your local church, and that's what I intend to do. But I wanted to talk to ex-Christians. You see, former from Christian to Buddhist, from Christian to atheist, from Christian to agnostic, from Christian to this, from Christian to that. I wanted to speak about Jesus's own teaching on this matter. The Bible does speak a lot about people who once professed to follow Christ, and Jesus talks about it too. The problem, of course, here is that so many people that are ex-Christians, when you listen to them talk about what they used to believe, you can tell somebody wasn't paying attention in Sunday school, or somebody wasn't paying attention in catechism class, somebody wasn't paying attention, or someone has never actually read the Bible. So I wanted to speak about here Luke chapter 14, verses 26 and following. Jesus gives us a pretty unflattering picture of his view of ex-Christians. And you see, the only reason there are ex-Christians is because they were never Christians to begin with. 1 John chapter 2, verse 19 is a text that I think people need to reflect on. It says, "They went out from us because they were not truly of us. For if they had been of us, they would have continued with us. Therefore, they went out from us that it might be made manifest that they were not of us." You see, people who say they were Christians and they're now whatever, pick your worldview, were never Christians to begin with, because it's impossible to be a Christian outside of the sovereign, effectual call of God through the gospel of Jesus Christ. So really, if you understand the Bible and you actually read through it and study it, you know that there's no such thing as a former Christian. And so what these individuals, if they actually knew what Christianity was, they would say, "I am an atheist. No, I never was a Christian. I had some exposure to Christianity, but I myself was not a Christian." Because as Jesus himself here teaches, there's no such thing as an ex-Christian. No such thing. He says in Luke 14, 26, "If anyone comes to me and does not hate his father and mother, wife and children, brothers and sisters, yes, and his own life also, he cannot be my disciple." Now, Jesus uses hyperbole all the time in his teachings. If you actually read the Gospels and read what he said, he uses hyperbolic language all the time. He doesn't mean literally hate your father and mother. In fact, in other places, he speaks of the necessity of honoring the fifth commandment, Mark chapter 7, Matthew 15, just a couple of places that come to mind immediately. At the crucifixion, at the cross itself, Jesus entrusts Mary into the care of John the disciple, because of his necessity of honoring his mother. So what is he talking about here? In comparison to all familial relations, in comparison to everything that you hold dear in this world, including your own life, if it's not hatred in comparison to your commitment and your loyalty to him, you can't be his disciple. He says in verse 27, whoever does not bear his cross and come after me cannot be my disciple. Do any of these people who say that they are former Christians, would they really be willing to say, yes, I took up my cross, died to myself, and forsook all to follow Christ? I doubt it. He says, for which of you, intending to build a tower, does not sit down first and count the cost, whether he has enough to finish it? Lest after he has laid the foundation and is not able to finish, all who see it begin to mock him, saying, this man began to build and was not able to finish it. I think that's very important that people understand that. Jesus mocked ex-Christians. He mocked them. He said it's like going to a city and, let's say, an investment firm. In fact, I worked at one in the city I came from that bought some real estate right there in the middle of the city and built the tallest building in the city. What would people have thought if halfway through the construction of that building, they ran out of money? And then it just sat there year after year after year after year after year with the cranes up there and the trusses sticking up in the air and the steel beams. It just sits there year after year and no one can use it. It's never finished. What would people think if they heard, well, the board of directors there that made that investment, they actually did not put pen to paper to see if they had enough to finish it. People would say, okay, we're probably not going to invest with that firm. Because they would make fun of them and say, how foolish would someone have to be to invest the money needed to build a skyscraper, a tower, and not knowing whether or not they had enough men, materials, and money to finish it? That's what Jesus says here of former Christians. So why do people glory in this? I used to be what you are. No, you weren't. No, you were not. And in fact, the very fact that you claim to be a Christian, a former Christian, shows that you didn't get it. You started to build a tower and didn't have enough to finish it. You weren't man enough to finish it. You didn't have what it took to finish it. Jesus gives another example. Or what king going to make war against another king does not sit down first and consider whether he is able with 10,000 to meet him who comes against him with 20,000? Or else while the other is still a great way off, he sends a delegation and asks conditions of peace. So likewise, whoever does not forsake all that he has cannot be my disciple. Salt is good, but if the salt has lost its flavor, how shall it be seasoned? It is neither fit for the land nor for the dunghill, but men throw it out. He who has ears to hear, let him hear. You see, the problem is you went to war with 10,000 against an army of 20. Instead of realizing, you know, maybe I shouldn't go to war. Maybe I should just send a delegation and ask conditions to be. Maybe I need to just bow out. Maybe when that evangelist told me, hey, with every head bowed and every eye closed, and if you raise your hand and pray this magic prayer, you're a Christian now. Maybe he wasn't telling the truth. In fact, I'm here to tell you, as a minister of the gospel, they weren't telling you the truth. So what does it mean to be a Christian? It means you repent. You pronounce a curse on your former way of life. You pronounce a curse on the sin that you're in love with, and you turn to follow Christ. You turn to follow him, to believe in him. And you put your hand to the plow and you don't look back. If you do look back, and if you do say, well, I used to be a Christian, now I'm a Buddhist, now I'm a Muslim, now I'm an atheist, you're like a man who started to build a tower and didn't have enough to finish it. And when people see it, they begin to mock. This man began to build and was not able to finish it. Every single time I see a video or an article from Christian to atheist, from Christian to Buddhist, from Christian to Hindu, from Christian to astrologer or whatever, immediately I think of Luke 14:29. He's not able to finish, and all who see it begin to mock him. This man began to build and was not able to finish. This guy thought he could go to war against 20,000 with an army half that size, when what he should have done is send delegation and ask for terms of peace so you don't get your head handed to you. You see, people are lied to all the time by what's called Christianity in our culture, in our society. But you see, you have to recognize it will cost you everything to follow Christ. Jesus asks for your highest loyalty. And if you're not willing to give that to him, you can't be his disciple. You can't be his disciple. And shame on anyone for claiming to have once been his disciples. And so just remember that. Just remember that. Those of us who love the Bible, those of us who are the followers of Christ, those of us who do understand that it will cost us everything, that it may cost us our own lives, It may cost us every human relationship that we have to be loyal to God because of the divinely imposed antithesis between belief and unbelief in this world. Just remember, when you claim to be an ex-Christian, Jesus made fun of them. They're like a guy who tried to build a tower and didn't even realize he didn't have enough money to finish it. Didn't have enough men and materials to finish it. He's like a guy that goes to war against an army twice his size. And instead of sending delegation to negotiate terms of peace, he goes ahead and fights and gets killed. Maybe you should have investigated it a little bit more. Maybe you should have said, you know, before I tell the world that I am this, maybe I should understand it a little bit better. You see, because it really destroys the credibility of what you now profess as well. You tell us you're an atheist, you tell us you're a Buddhist, you tell us you're this, you're that, from Christian to this. Well, maybe in a few years it'll be from this to that, or from that to something else. You see, that's the way people are when they're not firmly rooted in the one true God and in his law, word, revelation, and scripture. They're like children tossed to and fro by every wind of doctrine, always learning, never able to come to the knowledge of the truth. So, ex-Christians, you need to know Jesus had some pretty unflattering things to say about that claim. You're like a guy who tried to build a tower and didn't realize you didn't have enough to finish it. You're like a person that should have negotiated terms of peace instead of going to war against a force that was going to slaughter you. So, finally, in all seriousness here, there's no such thing as an ex-Christian. And anyone that knows the Bible well understands this. Jesus himself said, no one is able, udais dunatai, no one is able to come to me unless the Father who sent me draws him, and I will raise him up at the last day. Jesus draws his elect people to himself. He preserves them in the truth to the end. There are no ex-Christians. Jesus said in John 6, 37 through 39, all that the Father gives me will come to me, and the one who comes to me I will by no means cast out. For I have come down from heaven not to do my own will, but the will of him who sent me. And this is the will of him who sent me, that of all he has given me I will lose none, but will raise it up at the last day. To say, well, I'm an ex-Christian, means that Jesus tried to save you, but he wasn't able to. Obviously, that's not the case at all. The fact is, you were never a Christian to begin with. You went out from among us, as 1 John 2:19 says, because you were not truly of us. You didn't understand the cost. You didn't understand what Jesus was really asking of us. The fact that there is so much false doctrine, false teaching that masquerades as biblical Christianity, it's not Jesus' fault. It's not God's fault. So I would have more respect for people if they just said, I was exposed to this stuff. I thought I believed it. I really didn't. I really didn't even understand it. But now I profess to be this. But what's funny is, what will you be in 5 years, 10 years? Be something completely different. Who knows? Because maybe you didn't understand what you say you believe now either. Just some food for thought. Ex-Christians, no such thing. And Jesus mocked individuals that claimed such. Thanks for watching.